You know they want staring point, you know we straight to the point. Bull Chris with assists, fast breaks like a joint splitting head. Bull J with the J, we throwing heat, no gas. That's a touchdown pass, you know just how we coming. So it's nothing left to say. Now they hardly can guard me like Dirk fade away. You know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. Yeah, you know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point.
Hear me 76, bringing us in episode number 180 of Straight to the Point. My name is Chris, here with my guy J Dub.
Yo, what's going on? 180 is crazy. Oh, man.
180.
Dude, and it's the draft tomorrow. My favorite time of the year.
It's playoffs. It's the draft. Yeah. What could possibly be better than this?
The Sixers winning.
Well, you got me there.
Let me just say, we got robbed.
We'll definitely talk about the robbery, the great robbery scene across the world.
The great New York heist.
The greatest New York heist. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of the other series. You know, a lot of series are 2-0. That means there are a lot of teams that are also 0-2. We'll talk about the teams that we think are the best equipped to come back down from 0-2.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the NFL draft, undoubtedly. You know, everyone's talked about the quarterbacks. Everyone's heard about how many quarterbacks will go. We'll discuss that in depth. But, Jared, let's start, like you said, with the great robbery in New York. Game 2, Sixers-Knicks. Everyone's talking about it. Jared, lay it out for the people. Tell them what happened.
Chris, a minute, 5 seconds left? You're basically at 4 points, and then the game just goes haywire because you have the inconsistency of 8 missed calls, 2 for the Knicks, 6 for the Sixers, going into the final 45 in under seconds, 2 timeout calls missed by the refs because they just believe that, I guess, timeout shouldn't be called anymore. And then you're seeing now the end of the game reports, L2M reports, which are just abysmally dumb. Because at the end of the day, refs don't get scrutinized, penalized, or anything when it comes to missing calls or, you know, blowing games. But they brought out the report that said the Sixers were abysmally, haphazardly just ruined. Six missed calls for the Sixers.
Run that back again. Abysmally and haphazardly.
Honestly, all right, write that down. The rig was in. The refs knew who they were betting for. And at this point in time, like, what do you do? Because the report came out that it was accurate. 6 missed calls for the Sixers in the last 45-second stretch. 2 of which were on Maxey, where his jersey was then pulled and he was slapped in the face. Another call was missed on Joel Embiid or Donta DiVincenzo. But prior to that, though, Embiid did foul DiVincenzo, and that call was missed. That's one of the Knicks' only missed calls for the rest of that – at the last stretch of that game. Nick Nurse had went to call 2 timeouts during the fouls that occurred for Maxey. Both – timeouts were missed. Not only did the refs adamantly say that he didn't call a timeout, then when they found out the timeouts were missed, the apology was then issued by the NBA. Like, that matters. The game's over. Unless now, in this report that the Sixers are going to be dropped and where they're filing the grievance, you're changing the structure of the game where you're saying the Sixers won this game, which is a bad look for the NBA and a bad look for the Sixers if the Sixers then end up winning this series, getting the game back.
I get what you're saying. The problem is nothing's going to come from this grievance. It's
nope.
It's mostly, what's the word I'm looking for? On paper.
The only thing that I would want to come out of this is the thing I've been asking for years, is that refs are now penalized and fined for missed calls, bad techs, and they have to do a post-game presser.
But let me ask you, let me talk to you about this, too, because we're going to get back to the Knicks-Sixers game in a second, because I have my own thoughts about how that game ended as I've kind of thought about it. But there is bad reffing in all sports right now.
Yes.
All referees suck.
Yes.
Major League Baseball at times is unwatchable.
Horrible.
Because balls and strikes are not consistent.
And then it's because it's older people, though. Like, there's got to bring younger people too.
It's younger people too. It's younger officials, younger referees. It's not like they're old farts out there missing everything.
Some
in every sport. Some are, yes. But across sports, across ages, is only one consistency, and that's that the referees are not calling things consistently for both teams.
And again,
that's the thing that most people want. Like, okay, if your team is going to lose, like, okay, if the Sixers just lost, that's fine.
I'm
used to it, whatever. But I don't need the referees to help them lose.
Especially when it's like 2 minutes left. Either you're going to replay it right, you're not replaying it at all. Because what's the point of the replay if we're not going to actually reverse the call, which never normally occurs unless it's a challenge now. So that just makes this the replay a waste of time. But the issue is, Chris, again, refs don't have to. They refs can go home and sleep good. They might say, oh, man, I'm upset at that moment that they missed the call. But at the end of the day, because they're not penalized, fined for the misses or the miscues, fined for the fact that when they call a tech because somebody said, man, that's – some techs are very egregious, worth the tech. Some techs are just, man, a player had a reaction and the referee just didn't like it. And we're not seeing any penalization for referees. They're literally judged during execution or on the court, the field, the pitch, the mound, everything. And because of that, they have too much power. We're giving refs at this point in time the power that you should be giving commissioners when it comes to what they're doing in the game itself. Because at this, like, yeah, you could talk to them a little bit, give voice your opinion, but it does, and they, that call might be called the next time when they're saying, "Hey, did you look at this right?" But most of the time, the ref's still going to call what they call or talk back and say, "Hey, finish the play." And now you've seen it too. Refs call back.
Let me ask a question. What's the point of having the replay center? Like LeBron said, you have the replay center. What do they do?
The point of it was to see if, like, you know, when a dead ball was to occur, or when somebody goes out of bounds, who touched it last, to check to see, then you can reverse those calls. Okay. The fouls but don't get reversed.
Why can't they do that on the monitor in the arena? Why do they need New York?
That's what
why
I'm
do they need the league
know.
Office? If the league office isn't going to step in and that they clearly see that
it
there's
doesn't,
an issue
it on. Doesn't do anything. And then again, remember, foul calls are never generally reversed. Unless it's a flagrant, they're not reversing late game.
Unless you're challenging it.
And if you don't have the challenge 2 minutes left, the only thing they're replaying is to see where the foul occurred and to fix the time on the clock. But they're not actually reversing the call, even if it's not a foul.
So here's – I'm going to take the New York perspective because I've seen a bunch of it on Twitter. Even though it doesn't make sense to me, I do play devil's advocate for a reason. Their argument is there was missed calls on both sides. Maxie pushes. Okay. Throughout the course of the game, I'm sure that there is.
Sure.
But whatever. Yeah, sure. We're only strictly talking about the last minute. It's basically the last minute. Maxie hit the three. Sixers went up four. Knicks called timeout.
Yep.
Right? It was a minute or so left.
In
that minute that transpired, Lowry missed free throws.
Yep.
And B throughout the game missed six free throws.
Yep.
Four or six. A lot for him. He doesn't normally miss that many free throws.
It was a bad night.
Missed free throws for him. I know he's dealing with the eye. He's dealing with the knee. He's a walking skeleton, whatever. Lowry missed clutch free throws. Maxie should have just fell on the ball. Him trying to give the ball up doesn't make any sense.
But he went to, but I don't think it was like, and when you watch the slow-mo, he wasn't trying to give the ball up. He was trying to secure it.
Was he trying to brace it?
He was trying to like secure and brace. He was trying to secure and brace.
Okay.
But remember, Jalen's tugging, so now you're already falling forward. Josh Hart slapping you down, got him in the face twice.
I understand that.
The slow-mo makes it make more sense than what it is.
There's a lot of factors going on.
It was bad.
I don't want this to sound like sour grapes, and I know from who it's coming from, it sounds like sour grapes. If you don't agree, whatever. But fair is fair. And to say that there was no foul in that scramble – in any of that,
it's bad.
It's crazy.
It was the timeout that Nick Nurse was
or the timeout
ran
now
on the
you
court.
You want to say that there's a lot of people saying, "Oh, well, he didn't really fully commit to the time." Whatever.
He ran on the court.
Whatever. Nick Nurse should have dove on top of Maxie.
Yeah, for a timeout at that point. If that's what we're gonna do, it just took the tech.
At that point, take the tech.
Just take the tech. If that's what we have to do,
because if you got possession up four tech, they still need a three to tie.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of, and here's another issue that the Sixers have faced throughout the first two games, they can't get a rebound. They can't grab a rebound. They've been out physical. They've been out hustled. They've been out. They've been manhandled.
From a talent perspective, their best player's not even playing good.
And from a talent perspective, yeah, Brunson is playing down, right, from his regular season standard. But Brunson hit the shot in the corner that he needed to hit. DiVincenzo's been hitting shots. Josh Hart's been hitting shots. You know who hasn't been hitting shots? The Sixers. Anyone outside of Embiid or Maxie, and for a brief second, he who shall not be named. Everyone else, Kelly Oubre, Buddy Hill, Batum, nothing. Nothing.
It's bad.
Paul Reed's giving you minutes, but he can't.
He can't even get a rebound. He's getting out.
He's giving up a lot of height to Mitchell Robinson and a lot of height to Hartenstein. Now, he can kind of bang an elbow, but he's not going to get the boards. He's not 7 feet tall.
It's like, man, Josh Hart is playing like Klay Thompson.
The rest of the team, the guards are not backing out. Oubre, if your bench is giving you nothing,
it's bad.
The Sixers, for all intents and purposes, should have lost that game. They should have.
We had a lead throughout the entire game because just off the strength of Embiid and Maxey are just playing. And I know people come at Embiid for the injuries. Has he ever had a good series? Right? Yeah. Listen, I know he's not healthy, but even the 33 or 32 that he had in that game, if we don't have it, we're cooked. We're down 20 that game.
Here's the problem with the Sixers, and I say this every year. They don't got the – here's where they needed Pat Bev.
Well, that's what Lowry is supposed to be.
I don't care. He's clearly not.
Yeah.
I need someone who's going to punch back.
Do the dirty work.
They get punched on. They've been getting punched on this entire series. Now, we'll see game three. We'll see game four. We'll see the rest of the series. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe they flip a switch. I doubt it, but we'll see.
It's looking bad.
But they've been getting punched down and punked with no fight, no nothing.
It's been a lot of defeated actions throughout the Sixers. Tobias Harris doesn't look good. The Knicks win, like they won. They know they had a chance this year.
The Knicks know that they can beat this team. This team sucks.
They know.
And I hear Embiid talking about we're the better team. We're going to clean up. We're going to win the series. Okay.
Yeah, come on, dude. You didn't look at the cameras. No offense to Embiid, but you
didn't. I believe it when I see it.
Like he didn't make eye contact with anybody during. He said that your head's down. You scratching your hair.
I can't believe that body language. I don't know what's up with the eye injury. I can't speak to that.
I'm not a doctor. I can't even tell you.
Whatever.
It could have just been like he got slapped. I mean, he did get slapped on that play. That could have just been it. But
whatever.
Sixers stink right now. And it's, again, what do we do when you just
can't? Welcome to hell, ladies and gentlemen.
The refs followed pursuit of the Sixers game into the then Lakers game where missed calls. Jamal Murray, though, caught a shot. The last final minutes of that game were phenomenal. I have to say, phenomenal.
Denver is the Lakers is like you know
kryptonite. The greatest kryptonite ever.
You can't. They can't.
You're figure down 20, out. And the Lakers still let them come back. And then D'Lo did get hit like a bad. Like yeah, he got darn near punched in the face. But refs missed the call. Jamal Murray then comes on the other end, hits a great game winner, and we got one of the best post game pressers from Anthony Davis I've seen in a long time for him. Like two walk offs by LeBron AD. Maybe they'll come with a different mentality in LA then, just like hopefully the Sixers are. But playoffs so far have been solid. I mean, every home team had precededly won until Mavs and Pacers, two teams that we thought were going to end up eventually winning a game. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have other playoff games tonight where the Heat and OKC play. But I think those are two. Yeah, I think Boston's still going to win that, and I kind of think OKC wins that. So right now, there's only going to be two away teams that have actually stolen a game, in my opinion. I could be wrong by the time the night's over. But it's been playoffs.
Of the teams that are down 0-2 right now, who has the best shot of turning it around?
The Sixers. Literally, the Sixers have the best shot because it's not like they're a talent perspective. They're a worse team than the Knicks. They just aren't playing with enough heart and hustle. At home, though, the Sixers play a different team. They can win two straight. If you look at the other games.
Hold on. Before you say that, I have watched the Sixers shit themselves at home in the playoffs. I have seen the crowd turn on the Sixers.
Yeah, but I've seen them have one of the great. They've had some of the best home record in playoffs and in the regular season. They play better at home. The guys shoot better at home.
It's not like, but that's across the board. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't see. Look at Hart. Look at DiVincenzo. Look at these guys, these role players that we call role players stepping up. Deuce McBride.
We say that. Yes, we say that. Most Brunson was playing bad. OG's been playing bad their home.
But most time, okay, but that's when you need them other guys, like
that's,
I mentioned.
That's when the Sixers. So now these guys, when we step up at home, I just expect them to now either win a game at least at home or win the next two. If you look at the Suns series, I don't know. The Suns got to fix that now.
Tell me. Okay, going to the Suns, right?
You got to fix that now.
They are completely stifled by Minnesota's defense.
Do you remember the presser where Anthony Edwards, that they lost to, or they might have won, but they lost to the Suns and said, man, we can compete with them. They got a KD, but we got a Jaden McDaniels. And literally the karma, Jaden McDaniels is the biggest player of the game that last night to beat the Suns, where the Suns just look like trash, like hot doo-doo dog hit water. Bradley Beal is playing like trash. He is. At this point, he's either you bench him and find a primary point guard for this team, or you tell this team, Devin Booker, you're committing to straight playmaking because you're not, your shot's just not there. Yeah, you're the best scorer on the team, but your shot's gone.
Yeah, but you can't tell you, you can't tell your best scorer not to.
But then that's how. But then this is what you do. Last season they didn't. Last year in the playoffs they didn't tell him that, but they said, "Hey, focus on finding the guys first, and then your offense is going to come because now they can't bring a hedge to you or a double team." Right now they know for a fact Booker's in straight attack mode. They're throwing everybody they can at him. He's missing. And what the what's the other issue? They're making him the primary ball handler.
But you need the playmaker. But you need other guys. You need other guys to step up when your stars aren't stepping up. We talk about the Knicks early in the season.
It's supposed to be Bradley Beal. It ain't happening.
Okay, but Bradley Beal in the first game had, what, 20? 20 first game? As the third option-ish?
Just his second option. Freaking Devin Booker had like 12.
Okay, fine. But how many shots did Booker take?
I think about 20.
Okay, yeah, so he's not a second option taking 20 shots.
But at that point, though, you are. Because if you're you're getting the hot hand. The game that we're seeing from Devin Booker right now is not great. Kevin Durant's doing his thing. But again, like when we say Kevin Durant's doing his thing, at this point, doing your thing is literally, we know for a fact you can give me 20 to 25 at any given night. I need the Kevin Durant from last year's playoffs. I need 30. I did. Same with Devin Booker.
He gave you 30 in game one.
Yeah, that's true.
The others didn't show up.
Yeah, Booker didn't show up. It's like the bench. Again, you're talking about bench units. Besides Eric Gordon and Royce O'Neal at times,
who else is on that bench?
Nobody.
Eubanks? Eubanks gave him solid minutes.
He did. He had 8-2 off the bench. Bobo got 2 minutes and didn't really do much.
Bobo played in garbage time.
You think about Royce O'Neal. He plays solid. He just has to hit his shots. If he's not hitting a shot, he's unplayable. That's just the truth about him. He's unplayable.
I mean, that's most players.
You really need the guy that I expected to be having a better series. Is the guy that just got his extension before the playoffs, Grayson Allen. He's been shooting out of his mind in the shots.
Grayson Allen missed a couple shots, then he got hurt. Then he came back, got hurt again in game two, got carried off.
Now, he might not even play the rest of the series.
Because he re-injured the same ankle in game two.
That was the guy you needed, though, when it came. Now you got to find somebody else. But that was the guy you needed for this series the most because they were leaving him open, and the shot just wasn't falling in that game one. And then it kind of carries over to game two. And your shots kind of hit.
We're talking about all these guys as Phoenix not making shots.
That was the guy that was hitting like 7-10 threes.
Let's talk about a guy making shots that usually doesn't make shots. That's Gobert. Gobert is an offensive force all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Putting up floaters and turnarounds.
His spacing has been phenomenal. And they proven me wrong. The Nas Reed Towns Gobert lineup is not horrible. Nas Reed, shout out to him, just won six men of the year. We didn't even say shout out to Maxey, most improved player. Love that for both those guys. But the lineup's not horrible if I'm seeing Gobert do this back to the basket work and you're playing these two centers at the perimeter, right? And he's hitting these shots. Yesterday, I think I saw him do two face-up J's. I mean, maybe it's because he's playing Nurkic and he knows he got that little vendetta. But man, I didn't even see this game when he plays in the Olympics. I don't be seeing Gobert hit these type of shots.
Nurkic was going at him too.
That's what I'm saying. So it's good.
Classic foreign big man battle. Love it.
But right now, any other team that's down to me, like Chris, I'm not going to lie to you. I think the Magic are out of it. I've been telling you this. They're out of it. They're young. It's not that good. They're not good.
I have to see game three. Young team on the road lost two kind of badly.
One was okay. One, they made that comeback in the fourth. I liked it. They were down 11 and they blew 11.
Okay, whatever.
But two?
They were out of it.
They weren't even in yet.
Let's see game three. Let's see how they respond. They're a young team. Not 100%. I understand where you're going with that, and I see the vision, but let's see how the Magic responds.
It's fine. We'll see. Again, right now they're down two.
Let's see how these 0-2 guys, like, let's see how Philadelphia responds at home.
But you asked me which one has the best shot right now. Which one has the best shot? The best shot. Out of the Suns and the Magic and the Sixers, I think it's the Sixers.
I think it's the Sixers because with Phoenix, they are in. They can hang with Minnesota in spurts for the first two, but Minnesota just puts their foot on Phoenix's neck, and they can't. Like, dude, Minnesota might not score, but Phoenix won't score.
Yeah,
so the game will be stuck. The game will be stuck at whatever score it is for minutes on it. Right.
It's great when you're Minnesota and you have a bought in Towns on defense because the wingspan and the length of that defense now is locked in. remember the first year, the first playoffs, Towns was already bought in fully to defense, right? He was still trying to find his niche as a two and score. He's bought in for defense where now if he doesn't score, he's fine. Because now he's giving you two blocks. He's giving you the rebounds that you need on the offense or defense end with Gobert or without Gobert on the court. And you're talking about the length from Ant Edwards down, right? From Ant Edwards, 6'8 wingspan. Jamie Daniels, 6'11 wingspan. Towns with the 7-foot wingspan. Gobert with the 7'3 wingspan. You're not, unless you're hitting the tough shots, which we've seen KD and Devin Booker do. They aren't doing it lightly. It's hard. You're not getting any clear looks. You're not. And this defense is just, it's lights in. And then they're trying.
They are locked in on defense.
They're trying to do the switches on Mike Conley. It ain't working.
Chris Finch, for him being the one of the candidates of Coach of the Year, you know.
It's there.
I have been out on Minnesota because I didn't see how Gobert – I didn't think Gobert's offense would allow him to not be a – not be not for them to be playing 4-on-5 on offense, right?
Yeah.
But even when Towns struggled, Edwards struggled, Gobert was able to at least keep them afloat.
Yep.
While Alexander Walker, McDaniels, Mike Conley, these guys were able to keep the – and this is the thing you got at home when you have your stars not playing well. Mm-hmm. Your other guys can take up some of that slack. That's what New York has had. That's what Minnesota has had. That's what who was the other O2? Cleveland has had. These guys, your role players step up and play better at home. Now, it was very important to me to see which road team would win a game on the road. Indiana has now. Dallas has now. Dallas has now.
You're right.
Of those series, who do you think is more likely to win their series, Indiana or Dallas?
I still got Dallas. Indiana has a very real shot. And that, but though, again, right after game two ended, reports were that Giannis was progressing well and that there's a chance he suits up.
Let me ask you this. If that was the Sixers and they won game one and then lost game two, game three at home or whatever, or game three on the road, don't you think you would hear the, Embiid coming back? You would hear that.
Same thing happened last year with the Heat, though. Remember that Heat series, Giannis missed the first two.
Well, the thing happened with Kawhi. Kawhi was kind of questionable for game two. He ended up playing. They ended up losing.
He looked like trash, though. I ain't going to lie. But then again, hey, that's your sea legs. You ain't played ball in 2 weeks. That's your sea legs getting underneath you. You're not in tip-top shape. That makes sense. Giannis is going to be the same way, but the difference is now you got to script differently when Giannis plays. Because even if Giannis isn't 100% giving you 30, he's still going to give you 22, 10, and some assists where now Dame has more free reign. That first game, that spurt Dame gave you, you weren't having that again. I knew it. You knew it. Yeah, he's going to score, but it wasn't going to be no 33.5. Mm-mm. No. But now with Giannis back, the court opens up a little bit more. Dame gets to go back to being either he's going to still be that go-to guy, which I think he should be, but now Giannis gets free reign when it comes to the fast breaks. This is what the Bucks have been missing in that second game. They missed a little bit of the fast break offense, that one-man push that – Giannis will get downhill and go. And you're also missing some of the crucial defense that Giannis brings. Pacers, on the other hand, they have a shot. It's just the argument with the Pacers is just like, what Haliburton are we going to be getting, right? What Haliburton do we get in the games that we're playing? Because right now in these playoffs, the biggest downfall for the Pacers is going to be his scoring ability. Yeah, he can pass the ball. Yeah, he can shoot a little bit. And yeah, I mean, not a little bit. He shoots very well. But the volume of shots aren't enough. And yeah, you had these guys step up in this game too, but are they going to keep playing at that same pace? It's doubtful. Your stars got to be the guy to do it.
That's when you start. When you travel on the road, your stars are supposed to be the ones that keep you afloat, and potentially can win you a game, right?
Yeah.
With the teams that are down 0-2, those, you know, some of those stars may have had good individual games. Durant, Embiid and Maxey, I'm blanking on the third name. I'm sorry. But those guys could have good individual games, but you need the rest of the guys to help.
Yep. And that's
Phoenix has kind of the same issue the Sixers have. They got a big three and a fall off in their talent disparity, right? Sixers have a big two and a fall off. Third is somewhere in the bottom of
the Pacers don't really have that.
Pacers got like a big two.
their star is the fall off, and that's the issue. Because let's be for real. I'm just going to call it out. Chris, you like Nembhard a little bit more than I do. Nembhard's not giving you 20 every night.
He's No.
He's not doing that. So the 10 shots.
Did you see the vision, though? I should have put all my money on Nembhard.
12-12 is cool for Haliburton.
They wouldn't let me put no more money on Nembhard.
12-12 is cool for Haliburton, but 10 shots is enough, and 12 actually isn't enough. 37 from Pascal. How often does Pascal give me 37 a night, or even 30 a night? It's not his game. 22 from Miles Turner. Like, everybody individually had a great game. But when you talk about now, you're back at home, and your role players go back to being what they are. It's just a role player, which is why they have those big spurt games, and then you need your stars to produce. Helmer has to produce more. And that's the one thing we always talk about. He's a great point guard. The killer instinct not there yet. And until he develops that killer, where we saw in the in-season tournament, that crazy game where he was calling the damn time, that killer needs to be more instinctual, and it needs to be more of a switch for him. And that's the only way they're going to really finish this series out strong and win it, is that he got to make the switch. Because Pascal's been in the playoffs, won a championship with Kawhi. He knows the switch. Look at him, 37 just the following night. He knows where the switch is. Haliburton needs to follow suit, and that's how they win. Sixers, on the other hand, the switch is already locked in full gear for Embiid and Maxi.
Please, let's not talk about it.
Same with KD and Booker. When Booker had a better game, the switches are there for them. They know how to put the killer on. It's the role players that got to step up. Oubre got to start hitting some shots. Buddy Hield needs to start taking some shots. Like, you got to get guys.
And that's across the board. Like, you need Eric Gordon to give you.
I mean, he had a good game off the bench the other night.
Okay, but you need more. You need, especially with Grayson Allen now going to be out, we presume. We need these other guys for the Suns to step up, right? Yeah. We need these other guys.
Especially if Grayson's down for longer.
Especially if he's, and it looks like he's going to be down. Like, he pretty much rolled the same ankle twice.
Yeah.
Basically. You need, if you're Denver, you need KCP. You need Reggie Jackson. You need Aaron Gordon. You need these other guys to step up. Michael Porter Jr. You know, so a Jamal Murray can hit those clutch shots. So Nikola Jokic can keep you afloat and walk down a 20-point lead. Mm-hmm. You need, if you're Boston, you need Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard and 70,000-year-old Al Horford to give you quality minutes when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are not on the floor. Every team needs these other guys to step up. It's the team that gets those other guys to step up with their stars contributing that are going to end up winning games and winning a championship. It's not going to be you going to fall ass backwards into a title. That don't happen.
Listen, Chris, we're going to the NFL draft. Finally, I don't want to talk about this. It's going to bring me some joy. But my ass is on the line. I made a bold prediction. I'm sticking by it. I still believe Sixers and six, and it's going to happen. Lock it in here on the pod. Sixers and six. Four straight bucket wins. I don't care about the Knicks. They're hot doo-doo garbage. We're locked in at six. Take me to the NFL. I'm over it.
I saw a tweet that said, if you're a Temple grad and you got to watch the Villanova dudes shoot threes on the Sixers, you should be entitled to veterans benefits. And
I can't even be happy, but yeah, I'm kind of happy. Bro, watch Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo. Who are Villanova champions? This is a good year.
I never really liked Villanova anyway.
Man, forget you.
You didn't even go to Villanova. Stop it.
I'm still a diehard fan because Villanova's about Boo Blood. One of the best. When it was one of the best. Now Kyle Neptune ruined it, throwing the franchise in the gutter. Whatever. We even talk college ball. We should the come home season. Kyle Neptune might need to go.
Okay. All right, on to the NFL draft, Jared. We've been talking a lot about what Chicago should do with the number one pick. Everyone kind of thinks that they're going to take Caleb Williams, right?
Thanks, bro. It's Caleb Williams minus 1,100. How much do we throw on that to even just get a dollar back? What do we do?
The real money is, will New England stay at three? Will they take Drake May? What will happen in the rest of the first round? Jared, do you think that Washington is making a mistake taking – we presume they're going to take Jaden Daniels?
I believe that they should.
Is he the second best quarterback in this draft?
I think so.
And is he going to work out in Washington?
Yes. Do we just give it a season, or are we talking about within a three-year span he's working on Washington? I think in a three-year span he works out.
You'll know within the first 3 years.
I think within the first 3 years, yeah, he works out. I like what Washington has, to be honest. I like what they have.
With most quarterbacks, you know within the first 3 years. Like, the one quarterback that I was wrong on recently that I didn't see a major regression coming was Mac
Jones. Justin Fields. He was wrong with Justin Fields. It's okay.
I was Fields. The hell out of here. Mac Jones was the guy that I was wrong about because I saw his first year and he was respectable.
Yeah.
Right? You know, cool. Second year.
Shaky,
but maybe it was the coaching. I personally blame the coaching for that.
You had two offensive coordinators that switched off at halftime.
I blame Belichick. And as much praise as I give Belichick, he messed that up.
Absolutely.
And to have Pencil Man, please, I have not forgiven Pencil Man about Seattle.
Nope.
Okay, I haven't forgotten about that. No forgiveness for Pencil Man. But Pencil Man and Joe Judge up there trying to make Mac Jones work didn't work. He knew it, I knew it, you knew it, everybody knew it, right?
Yep.
So now you come back this year and you try to kick the tires again and you have the same flawed system. I think Mac Jones will revitalize himself in Jacksonville as a backup, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, good quality quarterbacks coach, knows what to get, you know, will try to break some of those bad habits. Hopefully will develop some of those good habits for Mac Jones. He's back home. He's from Jacksonville. So I think it'll be good for him. Get a reset. Get out mm-hmm. of New England. Get the spotlight off of you. And then if you were to have to come in, if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, which he did last year, and they ended up having to play, was it C.J. Beathard that they ended up playing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up playing C.J. Beathard. If you end up playing Mac Jones for a game or two, if he has the proper coaching fundamentals and not have to have the weight of following Tom Brady, I think you'll see a revitalized Mac Jones. Now, will he become a starter in the league again? Who knows? Because there's only but so many good quarterbacks we can go through the exercise again. And if he ends up in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, he will get a job. But I was wrong on Mac Jones.
I feel like the same goes for me and Kenny Pickett. I thought he had a good season. I thought under Tomlin he'd be a lot better. Again, though, the structural identity of the Steelers was defense. The offense, I think, was there. And he had the receivers, just the O-line. So that's kind of why he regressed a little bit. But Jayden Daniels, listen, you have Bieniemy. Coming off a great last season in college football with 3,800 yards, with 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, right? You're going into that team that has Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. I like their defense. They have a good running back scheme. They have what you want. Now you're just bringing this rookie QB that you can mold under a good offense coordinator, a solid head coach. And now I think that sky's the limit for him, and this is a perfect fit for him, right? Like, I think that's the perfect fit. I think 1 and 2 are locked in. That's why me who likes to see what I can sprinkle on the NFL draft, and I like to, you know, throw out my top 10 prediction list in Twitter. Hopefully y'all check it out. I think those two are my guaranteed locks. 3 down, though, real streaky and questionable, because I think the Patriots can trade immediately down. I don't think they want Drake May, and I'm not a big fan of JJ McCarthy. I'm not. So if they make the Drake May decision, that's fine. I think that's fine. But I think, honestly, at that point, if they keep the pick, I think they're going for a receiver. Right, I think they go for Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's one of the best receivers. You can make the argument for neighbors, but I think still Marvin Harrison. Or I can see a team trading up with the Patriots, like let's say the Vikings, or let's say I think maybe the Vikings do it more than any other team. And then if the Vikings make that trade up, then they take Drake May. Or if the Giants decide to trade up to get the wide receiver they want to really go and just say we're all in on Daniel Jones, like they've been saying, but they need the receiver help. That's the trade they make up too to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Because the Giants are normally a team to trade up for a receiver, but this will be the time to do it. And I know they've been taking a lot of speedsters. It's time to go get you a number one guy, right? Especially in a division chock full of number ones: CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin. Like your division has those guys. Your team's the only team that doesn't have it. It's time to go get you one. So I can see that potentially happening. More so that I can see the Patriots actually keeping the pick. And that's when all hell starts to break loose in the draft after that. Like, once the one domino falls, everything else is a trickle effect.
Yeah, I agree. That's usually how the draft goes. There's a lot of teams that are maybe jockeying for position. We've heard about Minnesota possibly mm-hmm. moving up, maybe to get a quarterback. Well, definitely to get a quarterback if they move up.
I think they should.
That division, you're going to need a quarterback. Like, If we're long term projecting, you got Detroit with Goff, Love with Green Bay. We assume Caleb Williams with Chicago. You cannot be the team without a quarterback,
especially when you have one of the best, if not one, but two wide receiver in the NFL.
Especially if you're going to end up having to pay Addison and Jefferson, you need somebody who's capable to get them the football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a veteran, like even if they was like, okay, we're going to run with a veteran, get a quarterback maybe later, or maybe in project and see what we can do. Okay, you could maybe talk me into that. But if you're like, okay, we're going to go get a young guy like Drake May and develop him, and we have Kevin O'Connell, who's a very good, highly decorated coach, mm-hmm. highly respected, I should say, not really decorated, didn't even want anything yet, but respected coach in the league, played as a quarterback in the NFL. If you're going to ask anybody to step in and mentor a quarterback, a young quarterback, that's the that's one of the guys you would pick, right?
Yeah. So okay, let me just say this. Let's say Patriots do take Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's say the Cardinals absolutely take Marvin Harrison Jr. You're still committed to Kyle Murray. You're taking Marvin Harrison Jr., right?
Okay.
Then this is where the Vikings would have to trade then, right? With the Chargers. You would have to trade for JJ McCarthy at that fifth spot. Or you would have to.
Why do you think it's McCarthy? You think McCarthy's the third best quarterback?
He's gonna be the fourth at that point. Dewey's the fourth. That's the fourth best QB.
Sorry, it would be Williams, May. I'm sorry, Williams, Daniels, May.
And I don't believe so. I just think the reports that are coming out, a lot of people are still have higher on the list.
Well,
McCarthy than Penix. I think Penix is better than McCarthy.
So if you're Minnesota, you're moving up from 11 to 5
to get McCarthy, because McCarthy's not falling farther than he's not gonna make it to 11.
Okay, let's look at the teams. Let's look at the teams in front of Minnesota. Chargers at 5. I don't think they're taking a quarterback.
No,
even though that there is kind of a.
No, I think the Chargers are going to end up, if they keep their pick, they're going to end up ruining the Giants draft by taking Neighbors.
There is a little bit of a buzz. I'm not breaking any news because nothing is confirmed, but there is a little bit of a buzz that maybe Herbert won't be ready for OTAs, and maybe the Chargers want to get out of that.
Even if that's the case, they still need a receiver. They've lost Keenan. They've lost Mel Williams. They're going to take Malik Neighbors, which will ruin the Giants draft at 6, because Malik Neighbors would then fall to them if the trades were to occur.
Right. So if you're the Giants at 6, are you going to take a quarterback at that point?
No, you're probably. I mean, you could always take Odunze, Romeo Odunze. You could always take him. That's a good receiver. You could take like a Brian Thomas from LSU. But it's like we know for a fact who the 1 and 2 receiver are in this draft. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Neighbors. A lot of arguments are going back and forth of who's the better one. Steve Smith has come out and said Malik Neighbors is the best wide receiver in this draft class. He's come out and said it, and right now he's been hitting on his wide receiver picks. After that, though, I don't know. The Giants could reach, right? Let's say they reach a little bit, go for another tackle, take Joe Alt, right?
Right. I mean, if you're going to try to fortify your offensive line, you already have Andrew Thomas.
Especially now, no Saquon.
Andrew Thomas was a little shaky to begin with, but he has come in solid, in the last couple of years. So
yep.
I think you're good. I don't know if they want to move him to right tackle or want to draft a tackle and put him on the other side, but whatever. I think you have options if you're the Giants, right?
Yeah.
But back to the point about Minnesota.
The teams ahead of them are
questionable.
Giants, Titans.
Hold on. Teams in front of them. Chargers, we already said no. Giants, yeah. Maybe, depends on what happens.
Titans,
no. Falcons?
No.
No, because they just signed Kirk, so I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback.
Jaguars?
Jets. I'm sorry, no, I'm sorry.
Jaguars,
Atlanta Jets. Is Chicago Jets.
Mm. Yes.
So Chicago's
not going to take quarterback. Atlanta, Chicago Jets.
Jets not going to take quarterback.
No.
So now you have Minnesota at 11.
Yeah.
You may not even need to – if you're going to take – if you're trying to move up, I think you're trying to move up for May. I don't think you're trying to move up for McCarthy.
Yeah.
Because what team outside of
the top 11 are needing a QB badly? I don't think any team is.
Because really the only the team at 12, which is Denver, I think is taking a quarterback.
And then that's where but Denver might trade up.
So is Minnesota and Denver trying to, is that the race? Like they're trying to move up.
It's got to be a mind game for the race to move up. Zach Wilson signing does not mean anything.
So let me ask you this, right? Let's say it's New England, right? That's the pick everyone's looking at as a potential trade. New England at 3.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen, would Arizona trade their pick?
No.
Do you think they're taking Harrison or Neighbors.
Yes, you, Chris. That's
huge. Here's what I'm praying for anarchy, right?
As you should. It's the draft.
Because there's a lot of teams that are in that middle of the order that are potentially, you know, could be trading down, could be trading, you know, up. Depends on what they want to do, right? Cincinnati now could be trading up with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson asking for trades. Raiders could be moving up. They may need a quarterback. They may see that, okay, Minnesota wants to move up. Denver wants to move up. We need to move up ahead of them. They're 13. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, who knows with Derek Carr. Indianapolis, I think they're not going to move up for a quarterback. They got Anthony Richardson.
The Raiders could trade up for a QB.
That's what I'm saying. The Raiders could try to maybe move up. I don't think Seattle's going to move up, and I don't think any team other than maybe Pittsburgh at 20.
There's reports the Eagles move up, but that's for a corner because, you know, Quentin Mitchell is not in the top 10, but he can fall out of the top 10. And if he falls out of the top 10, then there's a real chance the Eagles could trade up for a corner.
And the Eagles have
22, I think.
22. Right, Minnesota has 23, so Minnesota has 2 first-round picks. So
yeah,
they could move up if they wanted to. Arizona also has 2 first-round picks,
which is what I think. Listen, the Patriots, I think, would let that trade occur.
But the Eagles have 3 picks in the first 53.
Yeah,
right there.
But you're not trading up unless to get a defensive player.
They have 22, 50, and 53.
Yeah,
I can see them easily taking 50 and 53 and trying to move in the back of the first round if that's what they want to do.
No, I see them using 22 and 53 to move into like a top 15 selection.
We'll see, maybe
top 12.
We'll see. Depending on, we don't know what their board is, whatever the case may be.
Because like
from the perspective of teams needing a quarterback and who's going to take McCarthy, I think McCarthy's stock is rising strictly because there's a necessity between quarterbacks.
Yeah, but it's supposedly.
Me and you kind of see things as far as ranking the quarterbacks. I think Penix is better than McCarthy.
Okay, so then we're on the same page. And because of that, though, that's why
I think you don't have to make the argument. But I think McCarthy gets drafted first.
As he should.
A lot of teams are hesitant now to draft, you know, Penix is a lefty.
Too many analysts are going for Penix, and their scouting teams are going for McCarthy. That's why he's going to get drafted first. Sure, it's fine. I think Penix is just a better quarterback than him. Which is, if you're the Vikings or
I think Penix,
if you're the Patriots, I could see them getting Penix and still being good.
I don't see the Patriots taking Penix at 3. I could see
No. I'm talking about if you trade back.
How far, like what, swap picks?
So if you do, the 11 and 23.
Not one for one swap, but like.
No, 11 and 23 for the
take 11 and 23 for 3.
11, you're still drafting whoever. You're not drafting QB at that. 23, Penix will be there, though. Penix will be there at 23.
If I was New England, I'd be like, well, you know, Raiders offered me.
And maybe you get more, but at 23, I think Penix will still be there. If you're the Patriots, you get yourself a player at 11, maybe it's a receiver.
But will Penix be there at 23? Okay, so let's go through the round because I think we did this exercise before, but let's just see, for the sake of argument, how many we get right. We'll have our draft analyst. We'll try to get our draft analyst on next week to kind of talk about some things. But from where I'm seeing, right, if Caleb Williams goes 1 to Chicago and Jaden Daniels goes 2 to Washington.
Yes.
And let's say, just for the sake of argument, that May goes 3 to win. We both think that. Do you think McCarthy gets drafted before Penix? Though Penix, you think Penix is better.
Yep, I think he's drafted before.
So let's say McCarthy gets picked before Penix. Mm-hmm. The next place I can see him going is Minnesota at 11.
No, I think they'll commit somewhere else then. I think they would do something else then. They wouldn't even take Penix. Well,
so you think they would take? You don't think Minnesota would take McCarthy if he was there at 11?
If McCarthy was there at 11, they would take him for sure. Okay, if Penix were at 11, I don't think they would consider that a reach for them, and they would just wait.
So where does Penix go? Because I can see him going 12
to the Broncos.
To the Broncos. What? Let's name the Broncos quarterback, shall we? They have Zach Wilson, they have Jarrett Stidham, and Ben DiNucci.
That's bad.
Jarrett, you could probably play for Denver.
But if you're Denver and you see a Penix and Zach Wilson, and they're again, all the reports are saying that Penix isn't much better. Then they're like, "Oh, look who's falling."
Better than who?
Let's say they're saying he's better than Zach Wilson. let's say they believe that in their room, and they're like, hey, look at this name on the board right here, Brock Bowers. Whoa, that's supposed to be a very good transcendent tight end.
So are we under the belief now in this hypothetical scenario that we have concocted that is not based in reality at all? That you could see a scenario where Denver runs Zach Wilson out there as their opening day starter.
Yep. Because why not? This is a franchise that's done Teddy Bridgewater. They've done, I'm missing, who's the quarterback before Brady Hoyer? They was going back and forth. You know what I'm talking about. Who was their quarterback before him?
Before
Bridgewater.
They ever since Peyton retired, they had Osweiler, they had Paxton Lynch.
We're missing somebody.
Yeah, Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, was it Chad Kelly? No, Brett Rippin. Mm-hmm. A bunch of bums, basically. Nobody of new. Russell Wilson. They had Russell Wilson at one point.
And that was like, oof.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I mean, he's now the starter for the Steelers.
Are we sure he's the starter?
I mean, you're a Justin Fields fan, right? You let me know.
Please.
So would that be in the case?
Tell Justin Fields get ready to learn Steel City, buddy.
Like, the Broncos have notoriously known to just throw out QBs that they just at that point. Because let's be like, Sean Payton can't say he don't read them.
They paid Russell Wilson record-breaking money to get out and never return.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy Pittsburgh is starting. Denver told him, get out. We'll run our chances with Zach Wilson.
Drew Lock, that was his name, Chris. I had to look it up. Drew Lock was the quarterback of the third. And let's be for real.
Yes, Drew Lock.
Zach Wilson, Drew Lock were about the same.
Drew Lock's greatest fame in Denver was rapping to Jeezy on the sideline.
Yeah, so then, like, if you're the Broncos, if you have the opportunity to draft, let's say, a receiver or Brock Bowers or tight end, whatever, it's like, yeah, we'll just throw Zach Wilson out there week one. Why not? Sean Payton has done with worse or done with better. Or he could maybe he could revitalize Zach Wilson's career. Doubtful, but hey, let's see, he might be able to. I wouldn't see them not doing that within this draft. That same mindset I'm having, they have that same mindset, right? And if that's the case, then, oh, wait, Penix is going to fall again. Because why? You have a Terrion Arnold from Alabama that needs to get drafted. You have I already mentioned his name that the Eagles are looking at, Quinnen Mitchell from Toledo. He needs to get drafted. We haven't even started talking about some of the O-linemen, Chris. Omia Fashanu from Penn State. Probably butchered that. I've watched him all season, but I know who he is. J.C. Latham from Alabama.
You do tend to butcher names.
Yeah, it happens. Dallas Turner, another Alabama guy. And my team's got some heaters in this draft. But
how many teams do you have?
I am an Alabama fan. You've known this for years.
Alabama, Villanova, you.
And then everything else is Philadelphia.
Just hop around the bandwagon. So you admit Villanova is not a Philadelphia school?
He's a Philadelphia school. It's
Villanova. You just said you got Alabama, Villanova, and then the rest is
and everything is Philadelphia. Well,
Philadelphia.
It's in Philadelphia.
It's not in Philadelphia.
And also they're champions and they win in Philadelphia.
Villanova, Pennsylvania is not in Philadelphia.
Ask me where the parade was at where I attended for Villanova. Ask me where that parade was.
Weren't you at the Connecticut parade too?
I was there. I was a participant. I don't never turn down free alcohol. I don't turn down free alcohol. I don't do that. When I see a parade outside of my house that they're handing out free drinks to, or just say, hey, let's celebrate this trash team. I mean, hey, no, UConn's back to back. Can't call them trash anymore. But I was there. I participated. But who's not? I'll participate if I was in Vegas right now. I did participate when the Super Bowl was over. I was at work, but I was at the celebrations when the Chiefs won yet another one. Does that make me a Chiefs fan? No, I can't stand them. But it was in Vegas. The Super Bowl was in Vegas, and we all had a good time. Brian Murphy, that's another guy that's going to get drafted from Texas, Chris. Like, these are guys that I can see being taken before Quinnen Mitchell. I'm just these are names I see that you're like, oh, why would they get taken before Quinnen Mitchell? Well, I'm not Quinnen Mitchell. Before Penix. Because a lot of teams are going to need these guys before they want to take a QB that they're already questionable on, right? And that's the issue that I'm having with the conversation at quarterbacks. I just think Penix is an all-around better fit going into a season right now than McCarthy. I think McCarthy has some good intangibles. He's a work in progress. I think Pettis comes in right now and can win you some games. Like, if you throw Pettis right now on the Vikings,
Is that because of his perceived athleticism?
I think it's everything he has. As he throws the ball, he has a good throw. Throwing arm. He's accurate. He's played in some very competitive games in which, again, McCarthy plays competitive, but he's played in some competitive games where he's won them out, and especially on a team that has been real pedestrian this season. And then you talk about throwing Penix on a poised team with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Tyler Hockenson and whoever running back they decide to bring in. They can be good. They can be good right away. Where McCarthy, I mean, McCarthy could be good in that system as well. But I think it's going to be a slower progress. Slower to the point where if Justin Jefferson doesn't get this deal, he might walk, because what if he doesn't like the QB that they bring in, right? And what if he doesn't like the connection they have, or he just doesn't like what's going on? Because no receiver after this is actually praise for Kirk Cousins. No receiver after having Kirk Cousins dot you up, because Kirk Cousins isn't a horrible QB. I got him in the top 15. Dot you up consecutive years where you're going to get one of the biggest paydays of your life, wants to see their production dip and wants to see the wins go down, right? Like, yeah, they had a bad season last year, but that was just due to injuries on both parties. Jefferson was hurt and Kirk was hurt. But if they weren't hurt, that team is still a playoff team, right? Who wants to see them not be in the playoffs again? Because now you got this rookie QB coming in that just is wet behind the whistle, that doesn't know what he's doing yet, and is going to throw maybe a couple picks or miss reads, or is going to overthrow this receiver one and two that are like, man, I've been getting dotted up for a couple years now, right? So like, those are conversations that this team has to have, because Josh Jefferson wants to get paid, and you're not about to mess up his money when he can go get traded somewhere else and go play with a quarterback and get him paid.
Yeah, but you're not going to trade him for nothing.
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Because, I mean, recent reports today was that Bengals' Trey Henderson just asked for a trade. He wants out. And that dude's been, like, balling for the Bengals.
Speaking of balling for the Bengals, T. Higgins also wants out.
Supposedly. He's been more wishy-washy, though, because he's come out and said, I'm here to stay. And then, like,
the more he's been wishy-washy, the more I think he really wants to go.
And again, like, the draft is the perfect time to get some of these guys.
It's the situation where, like, he could be a number one on a team that doesn't already have Ja'Marr Chase, doesn't already have, you know, Tyler Boyd. These guys that's eating his production up, right?
Yeah. No, Tyler Boyd's gone now.
Whatever. He's still got Ja'Marr Chase. Like, Ja'Marr Chase isn't gone.
Yeah, that Ja'Marr Chase is your best receiver.
So you got a guy. You got a team in Cincinnati who's like, okay, well, if this guy doesn't want to be here, we may look to move him. So now Cincinnati may need a receiver and a defensive end on top of that. Detroit's looking to move up. They potentially maybe want a corner or another DN to go on the opposite side of Hutchinson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I might have got it messed up. Did Tyler Boyd stay with the Bengals?
Did he resign? I believe he
did. Yeah, that's eating up your production badly.
Well, like I was saying, it's eating up his production either way. If it's Boyd and Chase, or if it's just Chase, if he wants to be a number one, because I'm assuming this is the reason you ask out, is you want number one money or you want number one production, which will lead to number one money. Let's look at the potential landscape. Where is there a clear fit for him? Because I have a handful of teams, but they aren't good teams.
For Justin Jefferson?
No, for T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah. Arizona.
Because
not a good team, but they could be.
Okay, so let's say it's Arizona, right? Now you got Harrison and potentially T. Higgins.
That's not bad.
But do you trust Kyler Murray to be able to handle that?
That's a good question. There, that's the question.
Do you trust a new coach? You know, like, there's a whole lot of moving parts in Arizona.
I'm not, again, the coaching wise, I'm not a big fan of their coach. I'm more worried about how does Kyle Murray come back and play, right? How well do we trust Kyle Murray now? He's got his bag and he needs to play better.
Listen, for as much as I want to, you know, take a shot at your boy Jonathan Gannon, he ain't do too bad in Arizona.
For first year,
Arizona was much more competitive than anyone thought they would be.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fine. I mean, I don't. Jonathan Gannon is still trash in my eyes, but okay, that's cool. You were 4-13 team. You won 4. Whoop de doo. Well, let's see if he wins six this season. Like, Kyle Murray's back.
Well, if they got T. Higgins and they got Marvin Harrison Jr., then wins.
Giants could trade for T. Higgins. That's a competitive team.
Not a good team.
Yeah. Vikings, maybe. Packers, maybe. Sorry. Packers could potentially do it. Why? Because who's the Packers' real legitimate number one?
Romeo Doubs. Christian Watson.
Watson maybe is number one, but are we Dobbs is the one you really want to hitch your wagon to?
T. Higgins would be their one.
And then that's a good team. The Packers are a good team.
Very good team. Very good team.
After that, Panthers would – Bills. The Bills need a one. Desperately need a one. They can't even say they don't. They need a one. They might even trade up in this draft for a one. So, they can get T. Higgins.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good team. That's a winning team.
What about the Jets?
The Jets, because they're out. They're out on Lazard. I mean, I don't know why they even really brought him in, but they're out on Lazard.
You know why they brought him in.
I know why they brought him in. I just didn't want to say that they kissed the ass of Aaron Rodgers to bring in his guy, and his guy played like garbage.
Wait a second. Hell yeah, they kissed his ass.
And his guy played like garbage.
When is the last time the Jets had a competent quarterback? Quickly. Exactly. Yeah.
You could try and name some names, but it ain't going to be good.
What, they had like Brett Favre for 5 games.
That's it.
Sanchez for like 2 minutes. That's it. And then like Chad Pennington in between shoulder surgeries.
Yeah. Another team. Hey, Ravens. Potentially trade for T. Higgins.
Need a one.
I would have said the Texans, but they don't need him anymore. Oh, the Chiefs. Could trade for T. Higgins.
Yeah, I highly doubt Cincinnati's going to call up Kansas City, but yo.
Yeah, man. Come take. Yeah, yeah. But the Chiefs might call them.
I wouldn't answer the phone. I ain't got nothing to say to you.
But there's options for Tigans that aren't just losing teams. Again, the losing teams are more likely to get traded too, because your franchise is not going to trade you to a win.
I think there's a team that you got to have a team that's you know, he can go in and elevate his role, and they have the cap space to be able to pay him.
Because I think that same question then goes for Brandon Ayuk, who in this draft might get potentially moved as well, because Ayuk wants to get paid, and him and the 49ers are kind of on the outs. Because in my professional opinion, they don't believe in him as much as we believe in Brandon Ayuk as the number one. He's the number one receiver on that team, and yet they keep treating him like it's Debo. It's Brandon Ayuk, best receiver on that team.
Yeah, I agree. Pure receiver, yes.
Pure talent receiver. Like just better hands, better route running, getting off the block.
Better pizza, better bitches, you know.
Like everything you could want from a franchise and a number one receiver you had in Ayuk, and you keep blowing this shit badly because you're giving the ball to Debo. And Debo's not bad, but Debo didn't deserve 15 fucking targets in the Super Bowl and losing. He only caught 4 of them. Ayuk had 6 targets. You know what? I don't care. I like that the 49ers lost Super Bowl. Fuck them. They were trash anyway. Yep.
Whoa. Language, sir. Language.
My bad. I hate the 49ers now at this point as much as I'm starting to hate other teams. They piss me off.
Jay, I've retired the hate list. Do we need to bring it back?
No, because I mean, honestly, I don't hate the 49ers.
Is Michael Porter Jr. still on your hate list?
No, dude's been playing phenomenal. Still can't shoot the ball, but man, I never seen somebody transform from being what's known to be a three shooter, right? He was supposed to just be a sharpshooter. Now the man's 3-and-D, and I like it. Good wing. Playoffs come, he's a rebounding machine. He out-rebounds Aaron Gordon in the playoffs hit. And now he's hitting his shots at a more effective rate. But then again, I didn't have an issue with my Porter until the finals, where you take him for threes, and the guy averaged a total of 12% in the finals, shot 25% for the playoffs from the three-point line. I wasn't happy about that. Not that I hate the dude. It's just you're supposed to be a shooter. Shoot better.
Sounds real haterish to me, Jared.
No. Now he's playing phenomenal. You saw what he did in that game two. It's all he's doing in game one. 19-22 with 8 and 9. Like, dude, the guy is 6-10 from 3-point. Yeah, I took his threes. 3-for-7 3 in the first game. Yeah, I took his threes again. But now I might start taking rebounds because the man's giving you a consistent 6 rebounds or more a game.
All right, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Take the under. Take the under.
All right, sure. Do it. Do it if you can. Yeah, I dare you.
Take the under.
Lose your money. Just like I dare you take the under on Dame right now, too. I dare y'all. Take the under on Dame.
Take the under. Anything Jared plays, take the under.
I dare you. Take the under on Dame, too.
You heard what Jared said. He put all his money on Michael Porter Jr. and he forgot.
Make sure y'all take the under on Jalen Brunson because I'm taking the over. So take the under on Jalen Brunson.
He turned Michael Porter Jr. into Michael Olowokandi.
He was listening to me. Listen, he listened to me. Michael Porter Jr. came out of nowhere and said, "Yeah, you know what, bro? I'm better than Chris Middleton. He's been playing just like him. I'm cool with that as a number three guy. I'm cool with that."
So thank y'all for listening to another episode of Straight to the Point. If you liked what you hear, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. We're still a 5-star rated podcast on iTunes, so if you listen to us there, leave us a review. Make sure you follow Straight to the Point on all your favorite socials. It's at STTP Podcast. And make sure you follow me at underscore Chris Cross.
Follow me at underscore Jacob Hughes. Check out our YouTube at Straight to the Point Podcast. Yeah, we drop on YouTube. Go watch us. You can see the live reaction of us talking this trash.
Nope.
All the time. All the time.
Not some of the time.
Follow me at underscore Jacob215 on TikTok. Drop our clips here. I drop our clips there. Here is crazy. Drop our clips there. So most of the time, it's the same thing. Just we like to make sure you guys get all the content at all times.
I don't really need to be. You don't need to see me on camera. Like most of the time, I'm not presentable, and I got durag on.
You don't got durag on now. You got the curls out and the beard.
But I don't really. Who says I want to be on? Who says I want to be on YouTube? Man,
listen. We understand you're trying to hide from your missus. We understand.
No, it's not about that. It's about how I say a lot of outlandish things. I don't need
all the time.
I don't need people recognizing me for outlandish nonsense. I would like to be known for the smart things I say, not the things I say just to be funny.
That's rare.
What's rare?
What?
Huh?
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 What's rare?
What are you talking about?
You said that's rare. What's rare?
I don't know what you mean. Are we supposed to be ending the pod?
No, we ain't ending nothing until you tell me what's rare.
I mean, I gotta get to work. Are we supposed to be ending the pod, man? Oh man, that's crazy. This is my livelihood, sir. I got some articles to write. Episode of Straight to the Point. Straight to the point. How time flies. Why did we choose Zencastr? Because it was a perfect fit. Zencastr allowed us to be able to record, download our audio and video without hassle. It's a platform that supported us as a growing podcast and still supports us now, knowing that we're trying to build and grow something. Being a part of Zencastr was just great for us, knowing that we're in two different locations but are able to record like we're in the same room. And it's so easy. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. All you gotta do is log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen, knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried about what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording, and it removes those awkward pauses in the conversation as well. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code STTP Podcast, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experience as we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.